One of the miracles of Jesus was casting out demons or devils, and we've come to a famous example today of that miracle in Luke chapter 8. It begins in Luke 8 verse 26, and this is the story of Legion. We find in Luke chapter 8 verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." And then the Bible describes what kind of condition this man was in even further in verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him." Now, demon possession is common in the first century. You don't read about it very often in the Old Testament, if you read it at all. I don't know of a clear case of demon possession in the Old Testament. And so it appears that it's primarily, if not exclusively, a New Testament phenomenon. So what we find here then is one more case of Jesus casting out not just a demon, but demons from this man. Now, the subject of demons is a very interesting topic in the New Testament. And these demons evidently are sinful angels, angels that sinned. And for a time, God allowed them to possess or to take control of the bodies of certain people in the New Testament. And you'll find them sometimes called, in the King James Version, devils. Sometimes they're referred to as unclean spirits. As a matter of fact, 20 times in the New Testament, they're called unclean spirits. 2 times, they're called foul spirits. Back in the Old Testament, again, if this is a reference to demons, and it's certainly not demon possession, but in describing the plagues that God sent upon the Egyptians, the Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 49, that God sent evil angels among them. Well, we know that the devil has his angels, and we know what's going to happen to those angels. The Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 41, that in the judgment day, Jesus is going to say to them on his left hand, that is, to the lost, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So we know that these evil angels exist. We know that they are kept, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, in everlasting chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment. And it appears that what we find then is that demon possession was something that happened in New Testament times, does not happen today, because what we find is that if demon possession happened today, we wouldn't have the means to be able to fight it like people did in the first century, that is, by the miracle of casting out demons. God wouldn't put us in a situation where things are so uneven, where things are so unfair, and you have demon possession, but you don't have anybody to be able to cast those demons out. So I know that that could take us into another direction here, and that is the end of miracles in the first century, and I don't want to get into that. I want to keep our focus on these demons and demon possession in the first century, and particularly on this story. And so I want to talk to you this morning about this story, and I want to look at this man, what he knew, what happened here, and especially to think for just a few minutes about why so much space in the New Testament is given to this story of demon possession. Now, you find that this is recorded. I'm talking about this one case here of demon possession. This one example is recorded in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke. 42 verses are given in the New Testament on the story of Legion. Now, considering the fact that the New Testament is a relatively short book compared to the Old Testament, the New Testament is nowhere near as long. And also, compared to the fact, or in light of the fact, that there are many subjects that God doesn't go into detail on in the New Testament that sometimes people wish that he had gone into detail about. And in light of those facts, we find that God gives a significant portion of time and space here to this story of demon possession. Now, why would God do that? Why would God spend so much space in the New Testament if this does not happen today? And why did God only permit demon possession to happen in New Testament times? Well, one of the things you need to remember is that in New Testament times, you have a concentration of miracles unlike the world had ever seen before or obviously would ever see since. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came into the world. And so this was a special time, and there were special miracles that were done to confirm that Jesus was the Son of God and to demonstrate that he was the Messiah. Now, casting out demons was a special miracle, and what it did was to show that God's power was greater than the power of the devil. The devil had his angels then, and they were really at work. Now, the devil has his angels today, and I'm not denying that there's some kind of work that the devil does, and perhaps through his angels today, but it's not demon possession. In the first century, the devil really had control of some of these people through demon possession. And so perhaps God is showing that he keeps evil in check even in its worst forms. So here's the devil, and he has his demons out there in the first century. They're dwelling in. They've taken control over the faculties of some of these people. And here comes Jesus and his apostles, and they're able to overcome the power of the devil. So God is demonstrating, God is showing his power in a very special way. Now, when you look at this story in Luke chapter 8 about demon possession, it's interesting here that these demons knew and were capable of doing certain things that the Bible describes. Now, for instance, in verse 28, the Bible says that they knew who Jesus Christ was. The Bible says in verse 28 that when they saw Jesus coming, they said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." So they knew who Jesus was. They knew that Jesus had the power to torment or to punish them. So they are afraid of Jesus Christ. They do not have the upper hand. And I believe that that's something that we need to keep in mind. If you listen too much to television, if you watch movies or if you read books on this and even listen to some preachers, you might get the idea that these demons in the first century actually were almost invincible and that there was no way to fight them or match their power. And that's not what we read here. We find that these demons were intimidated by Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible says in James 2, verse 19, "You believe that there is one God, and you do well. The devils also believe and tremble." So they know that God exists. They know that God has power over them. And the Bible says they are afraid of God. They are afraid of Jesus Christ, and they do tremble. And I say that also because of what we find in verse 29. Here the Bible says that this man who was possessed by these demons had supernatural or superhuman strength. The Bible says that they had bound him in chains and in fetters or shackles. So they put these shackles and chains on this man, and the Bible says that he broke the bands. Now, an ordinary man couldn't do that. And so these demons who possessed him gave him this superhuman strength. And skipping down just a little bit later to the time where we read about Jesus casting these demons out, we find in verse 35 that this man was in his right mind. That's Luke chapter 8, verse 35. So while a demon had possession of a man, or in this case, while the demons had control of a person, that person was not in his right mind. He was not accountable for what he did while the demons were in charge. And so it's like his soul was displaced from his body, or at least shoved out of the picture so that these demons were the ones that actually had control of his body. Now, getting back to the idea that you can get from movies and television and from books today, and that is the idea that when a demon possessed somebody, that that demon had such control that he could terrorize anyone and he actually inflicted harm on other people, well, that's not what we see in the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at all these cases of demon possession, just ask yourself the question, how many times did a demon ever hurt another individual? Now, sometimes they tried to hurt the person that they inhabited or that they possessed. But you don't find these demons going out and killing other people and hurting other people in a physical way. What you do find in Acts chapter 19 is that there's a story of some false prophets who were trying to cast out a demon and they were unsuccessful, and the demon came out and jumped on them and did injure them. But other than that one example, you just don't find these demons doing the kind of harm that we oftentimes see in these shows where these kinds of things are presented. And so getting back to what the Bible says in verse 30, the scriptures say that his name was Legion because many devils were entered into him. Now, we saw earlier in Luke chapter 8 that Mary Magdalene had been possessed by seven devils or demons. This man has so many that the Bible just refers to them as Legion. And the Bible says in verse 31, "And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep or into the abyss. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Now tomorrow we're going to talk about their fear and what they asked Jesus to do as a result of the fact that they were afraid on this occasion. And I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to have you studying with us, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.